And I said, no, there really isn't. And you're thinking there, maybe, and you're saying, man, if God sent this lady to me, I have no idea. I'm scared of the Antichrist, too. Well, guess what? God's not going to send you the girl, the lady with the Antichrist question. It happens all the time. Wait a minute now. What would your life be if you started doing this on a regular basis? And you started saying to the Lord as you walked into your class, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. Will you send me the child that needs you in some way today? And then just watch what happens. And God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge, or maybe it's a parent. But my point to you is simple, and it's this, and that is, you need to have the blessing of God. Why live without it? You got to ask for it. And the second part of it is, I can walk backwards. This is wonderful. You can really ask God to bless you, and here's what will happen. You'll have this safe little box, and he'll push it out. And that little part that's outside of your box right here, that's called the uncomfortable zone. You're nice and comfortable here. Keep your leg down, sir. You're comfortable right here. I thought to myself, this is the 50th anniversary. This is the last time I'm going to be invited, so have a good time. They already gave me my check, so what else is left, right? So as it goes out of your comfort zone, I want to share something here, because people think that other people are different than themselves, and we're all the same. Boy, are we the same. When we get outside this comfort zone, you feel fear. You do. And you'll feel overwhelmed, because you've never been there before to that level. I want you to be serious for a minute and think with me. Because that feeling is not pleasant. And therefore, it makes us want to not go there, because we love comfort and peace so much, and we like to be in control. Here you are saying to God, move out my comfort zone, and God says, yes. And you see a giant. That's why God repeatedly would tell the leader, when they were going into some new territory, the same thing over and over and over. Don't be a... Why? Because you're afraid. Now listen to this, because it's so important, because some of you are going to catch this. When you begin to break through that comfort into the discomfort, you process through it. I'll teach you how in a minute. And as you do, this becomes a new comfort zone. And God can now use you in this big of a box. And if you don't stop, say, God, please, give me more ministry. I mean it. You'll find yourself saying this, and change me so that you can. Because you're getting away here. At least I did, and do. So God, change me so I can. And God will then say, okay, how about this wall over here? No, I didn't mean that. I meant this wall. And he won't. He'll take you right out here. And you will go through this. And you know who the men and women are who are used in a major way for God? They are the men and women, just like you and me, who kept hitting those comfort zones and saying to God, take me through the next one, into the discomfort. They grow into it. They ask for it again, and they grow into it. My friends, that's how it happens. It goes like this. And the pain and the fear and the feeling of overwhelmed is at every single threshold. I don't care how many giants you've seen fall in the past. When you see a new one, it's bigger than the previous one. Therefore, never again back away when you feel the feeling like I used to back away. Nobody told me this. Therefore, I thought, don't go there. That's not good out here. Stay back here. And therefore, the miracles of God that are meant to be yours, they're your inheritance. Because God says, I search. I think that's going to be one of the most disappointing moments if all of eternity is when we see how many times he sought to move you here. And you said, I can't do that. And he said, who made man's mouth? Who made the seeing? Who made the deaf? Who made the dumb? Have not I, the Lord? I put my spirit in you. What do you mean he can't? Get your eyes off of yourself and just trust on me. And my friends, that's what will happen. Your ministry in your school and with the parents of your students. Now you're saying to yourself what I'd be saying. Where am I going to get the time? I can promise you one thing. I don't know how he does this, but he does it. And he'll make the time for you. He'll make the time for you. And you'll not be going to bed at night saying, I wonder if my life really meant much today. You don't go to bed that way anymore. Because you'll have supernatural moments, and I'm choosing that word carefully. What do I mean by supernatural? I mean God decides to answer what you said, move somebody over here that wasn't going to be there until you prayed. That's a movement of God that he wasn't going to do. That's supernatural. When God does something like that to me, that's not natural. That's supernatural. And when you begin seeing that all of the time, you won't go to bed wondering if your life is significant. And if you keep on doing this year after year and grow into it, more God. More God. That's how your life will grow. And someday you'll be standing up here saying to yourself like I am, how on earth did I ever get here? Now, wait a minute. That's exactly how it is. Maybe it won't be here, but it'll be some way that God will be using you in a way that you'll shake your head and say, I never thought. But you got to ask. Third part of that prayer is also backwards. Oh God, would you bless me indeed? Would you give me more ministry? Now think about this, friends. When he gives you more ministry, it'll go like this, like this, like this, until you're holding on to the fringes of your border with your fingernails. And pretty soon it'll break right through. Watch this. It'll break right through, and you will become overwhelmed. And you will say, I can't do that. It's at that moment you're ready for the third part of the prayer, and that your hand might be with me. Now let me ask you the deep question here. When's the last time that God expanded your ministry so much that you were desperate enough to say to God, God, unleash your strong arm on my behalf. I can't do this. I remember when I was a young man walking along with a man named Dr. Mitchell from Oregon. He was a giant. He was in his 80s when I knew him, and he mentored me. It was a gift from God. And one day, we were on our way to the faculty meeting where I was teaching along with him, and I was talking to him. I said, Doc, I feel so overwhelmed. He said, you do? I said, yeah, and I don't like it. He said, you don't? I said, no. I said, Doc, you don't feel this way, do you? I'll never forget this. He stopped on the gravel, and he turned to me, and he said, Bruce, I've been feeling this way for 50 years. I said, no, you haven't. He said, yes, I have, and it's about time that you do. And for his spirit to strengthen you to do what he's asking you to do. You see, that's how it happens. And I find that we're all the same in that 99% of the people in this room. I don't care what you are, how long you've been doing it, you don't live that way. Because I've preached this to hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, and it's the same everywhere. We just don't live this way. Because we misunderstand the feeling of discomfort, and we back away until we're in control, and we're not desperate for God anymore, and we don't need his hand anymore, and we live in the flesh. And we wonder when our years go by why we don't see the mighty arm of God unleashed in our lives. This is the reason. We won't let it. What does it take for God to do this? It amazes to me. My arm, my eyes look to and fro across the face of the earth. You know the verse. To find the person whose heart is loyal to me so that I can show my arm strong in his behalf. And this is where the arm is shown, right here. I learned how this felt years ago when I was down here from where I lived to preach at J. Vernon McGee with him. While he was still living at Church of the Open Door. And right before that Sunday, I took my wife and two young children into the sand lot nearby that had a lot of swings and three sliding boards, a little one, a middle-sized one, and a big one. And David was five. And we sat down on the edge of this sandbox, and Darlene said, well, aren't you going to help him? I said, no, let's see what he does. Well, he runs out at 5 years old and sees this little sliding board. He turns around to me and says, Dad! And I look at the ground. And Darlene says, well, did you hear him? Well, yeah. Well, go help him. Sweetheart, he's a boy. Let him alone. He may get hurt. Sweetheart, he's a boy. And so he climbs up this and goes whizzing down. He comes back and we are all, you know, way to go, Dave. And he does it again. And then he looks at the next one, which is quite a bit bigger. And he calls back and says, Dad! And he looks at it and starts climbing up the stairs about a third of the way and freezes. And the other kid's coming behind him, much bigger. Come on, kid, get out of the way! Well, this time he didn't need to call me. And I was right by his side, and I took him off. I said, Dave, you did really well going that far. That was, you had courage, son. Proud of you. Dad, I can't. It's too big for me. Will you take me down? I said, oh, son, you bet. So I grabbed him around my arm, and together we went up this bar. I was praying, Lord, protect me. This is a big one. And I got a hold of our son, and we went down this thing, and he is having a great time laughing, and then I understood it right again. It's too big for me, Dad. Carry me down. Been waiting for you. When is the last time you needed that? Oh, God, bless me, and it'll bubble out of you. Expand my ministry, and he will, right through the classroom, through the parents. Just think if a whole school started praying this every day. You have no idea what God would do in your school. None. And you kept praying it and praying, and thy hand be with me. And here's what takes place, friends. As that begins to grow more and more, and God's hand's on you, you go right past the threshold. No, you won't. And you go into the darkness. Wait a minute, there's dark here a minute ago. The light follows wherever you go. So, this issue then of the dark... Oh, mercy. And as you go into the darkness, you will begin to bring back those kids who've strayed, or parents who are right at the edge of a divorce, because God will put you right in their way, and you'll bring them back, and you'll be saying to yourself, what am I going to say, and God will give you the words, because he only sends to you that which he knows you can do for him. And you'll hear yourself saying something that you'll say, where'd that come from? That's so good, write that down. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, you bet. That's the norm. But guess also what's happening. As you move out into the darkness, you do move into the darkness. Because here's where the light had formerly been. And now God's breaking through that wall for you and said, go this way for me. There's somebody right over there that needs you, and they're in the darkness. And you go out, and guess whose territory you're in when you're out in the darkness? You're in the enemy's territory. And friends, here's what's going to happen. You will feel the enemy coming after you. That's why the last part of the prayer is right where it is. Put your hand upon me and keep me from evil. Why? That's right where you're going. Now, the issue is so surprising about this is you haven't prayed that way either, unless you're very unusual. Why? When's the last time you said to God, keep evil away from me? We don't pray the way of Jabez. That's why not very many were more honorable in God's sight. God doesn't say, pray and I'll keep you strong in temptation. It is, Jesus teaches us to pray. Okay, and lead us not into... So when's the last time you said to God, keep evil away from me? It's so unique, so different. Well... The more you do this, the more miraculous your life will become. And the more you will give God glory. And if a school and a classroom ever really started praying this prayer, and you ever got on your knees and really went for it, you're never going to go back. I remember heading out to the airport to fly up to the Billy Graham Cove to speak for the weekend, and it was a big accident downtown in Atlanta. When there's an accident in Atlanta, everything stops. And I kept watching my clock like I haven't been on this talk. I'm almost done. And I realized I'm going to miss my plane. I said, Lord, I believe you want me to be there. Please get the traffic out of the way. The traffic didn't move, and I realized I was going to miss the plane. And so I prayed, stuck downtown. I said, Lord, please stop the plane until I get there. And then I heard myself praying that, and I started laughing. And then I looked next door to the car next to me, and the guy was going like this. Well, we finally got down there, and I was a long time after the plane had left, and I was just hurrying anyway to see what God did to that prayer. And I came up Section A, Gate 16, right at the top of the escalator, and turned to the right, and all these people were buzzing, and I realized, God, you did it, look at this. So I go up to the lady, and I say, your plane is late. She said, yeah. I said, I know why. What do you mean you know why? I said, ma'am, I'm supposed to speak for the Billy Graham Center, and I was stuck downtown, so I just asked God to stop it till I got here. No, you didn't. There was another lady behind the counter, and she was hearing all this thing, and she said, oh, yes, he did. I believe in prayer. Just like that. It was great. And I looked at the lady behind the counter. I said, you know, since God opened the Red Sea and fed people in the wilderness for 40 years, do you think he has trouble stopping at DC-10 for a little bit? And then I left, and I thanked the Lord. Why? I just gave God some glory right then. I told her he did that. Now, this lady's faith grew. This lady didn't want to stand next to me. So I went over to the glass right here. Wait a minute. I went back to the glass. And I stood there. I was sweating because I had run, and I was saying to the Lord, Lord, there's no place to sit. The plane's not ready yet. Send me somebody who needs you. Took a deep breath. I didn't have much energy in me that day, and turned around to wonder who it was. And my heart sank. Here comes this lady dressed in all black leather, with leather everything. Oh! I'm never going to speak here again if these things are here. I'm going to hurt myself. So she come, and she's sweating. And I turned around, I said, it looks like you're glad too that the plane was late. She says, yeah, I was. I said, me too. I said, there's no place to sit. She says, yeah, I know. And we started talking a little bit, and I asked her what she did, and she was a physician. And I said, can I ask you a piece of advice? You mean for free? I said, well, if you don't want to, oh, sure. So I asked her, and she gave me some good advice. And then I said, so what can I do for you? She said, what do you mean? I never know what I mean, so I always say, I'm not sure. And she said, nothing. Yes, I can. What can I do for you? Well, I'm flying home. And we've had a marriage for a long time, and it's over. I'm going to divorce my husband. I said, when you get home? Yes. I said, how long have you been married? She's been married a long time. Are you glad it's over? Yes and no. And God began to open her heart. And before long, she was becoming a little bit teary-eyed. And I said, you know, this is a little private. Why don't we stand over there? And that was the wall at the Delta Gate that had no people on it. So I walked over there and stood like this against the wall so she could see me and nobody else. And God was just ministering to her. Well, in the meantime, everybody had boarded the plane. And the stewardess, the same lady, was here and said, if you two don't get on the plane, you're going to miss it. And the lady got upset. And she said to her and to me, we're not done talking. We need to finish. And I said to her, well, don't worry. And I started walking. She said, what do you mean, don't worry? I said, we'll sit together on the plane and have the good discussion. She said, don't worry. She wasn't a Christian. She said, what do you mean, sit together on the plane? You don't even know what seat I'm in. I said, well, I don't know what seat I'm on either. And she's walking along. She says, well, how are we going to sit together? I said, I don't know. That's up to God. And she says, what do you mean up to God? I said, well, if you were God, would you want this conversation not to continue? You don't. What's your seat? She was ticked off. And I said, 21. Well, I have 15. See? I said, yeah, I know. So we're... At this point, God's hearing a lot of prayer from me. His reputation's at stake, not mine. Mine's already ruined. I'm the guy who said that the plane. So we're walking down this, and she's a little ticked off, and she comes down the aisle, and she's on this side, and she sits. She has a aisle seat. And as I walk by, she said, "See?" And I said, "Uh-huh." And I came down here, and I had number 15 on this aisle. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and there's a big guy next to her. He turns around, gets on his knee, and says, you two together? Not yet. He said, I hate middle seats. I do too. He said, I'll switch you. I said, okay. I walked up. She moved in. I sat down, and she said, it is God, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. Before those wheels hit the tarmac in Asheville, she had forgiven her husband of many things and gave her heart back to him. Now, wait, no, that's not the point. The point of it is, that's your inheritance. That's you. And I just want to share with you, it's time you enjoy it. If you're a principal here and you hereby commit to pray this for your school for the next 30 days, I mean literally for the next 30 days, and that you will lead your teachers through it at least once a week, and you hereby commit to that, will you stand in the audience? Now, if you're a teacher, stay standing. If you're a teacher and you commit, and I want no wimpy prayers about this. I don't want, God, please bless me and expand the border and put your hand on me and keep me from evil. None of this stuff. I mean, go for it. Really, ask him for this stuff. And for 30 days, that means till December 20th, right before, just by the time school lets out. That's the blessing of God. God here. If you'll join them in praying every day and get your students to do this. Woo. And stand to your feet. Let's give them a hand. Now remain standing for a moment. You know, we have a gift for you at Walk Through the Bible to just help you celebrate your 50th. We're celebrating our 25th. And as I look forward to 50, in my mind at least. So, this particular sermon, not quite so openly, I gave at the National Day of Prayer in Washington at the request of the Dobsons. And we wrote this little book, The Prayer of Jabez, thinking that maybe it would encourage some folks and maybe 20,000 to 30,000 copies would be sold. Well, the publisher called up shortly thereafter and he said, Bruce, people are really praying Jabez. I said, well, my wife and I are praying Jabez over the book, asking God to bless the book, expand its ministry, that his hand would be all through it and touch people, etc. And he just called me before we came here. He said, Bruce, this book is number two in the nation now. Now we have a copy for you on the way out, but now I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you, and if you've not been to the seven laws of the learner, you'll get no blessings from God. And Phil Tuttle, a great teacher with us and myself, will be teaching this at the Calvary Church in Diamond Bar. And we have many of these cases of them if you want them at your school to give out to your parents, etc. But now, I want you to pray this with me. First of all, say it with me. Dear God, please bless me a lot. Give me more ministry. Put your hand upon me and keep me from evil. Now I want you to turn your face this way. Keep your eyes open. You know, you can pray this with your eyes open. And Jesus, looking into the heavens, prayed. And I want you to do like this because it's time to do this. Unless you want a little blessing, then you can do this. Or this. We need a picture of this. ACSI. That's good for you. Good for you. Here we go. Now I want you to ask him. Don't say it this time. You need to ask him this time. And mean it. Dear God, would you please bless me a lot? Give me more ministry. Put your hand upon me and keep me from evil. And now, Father, we do lift our hearts to you. 50 years of faithfulness, all these men and women who've given themselves to you. I now pray that you would unleash your arm at ACSI unlike anything that's happened in 50 years. And I hereby stand between them and you as your servant. And Lord, I ask that you would double the size of these schools in 3 years' time. That we would get young men and young women, boys and girls, and pull them right out of the darkness. And they'd become inside of our boundary. And that across this nation, the secular people would be saying, what's happening in that Christian school movement? And when people would come into our school, that when they opened the door, Lord, that they would feel your presence right at the door. And their hearts would grow calm. And the Spirit would convict them of the literal presence of you. Lord, we're sick of just doing school. We want to see your mighty hand unleashed. And I pray, O God, that you would release your arm, that you would give great favor to these principals in the schools, in the community, and in the churches, that you would lift them up, and that the television network from their town would come to them and say, we've noticed your students and what you're doing in this community. We want to know, why are your students so different? May it happen, O God. And then would you keep evil away from this movement like you have so faithfully? That there be no division among the leadership and the board. That there be no anger or divisiveness or gossip between faculty members and principal and staff. And there'd be a tremendous unity and outpouring of your glorious Spirit upon this movement. And that 50 years from now, when we're all in heaven, we can celebrate what you did. In Jesus' name, amen.